Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Lord. Lord, we said that you be with us today and be with all the representatives here, be with the administration. Lord, just help us make the decisions that'll be good for the welfare of our citizens. Lord, be with those who may have members of their family that may be sick. Lord, just reach down and touch them with your healing hand. And Lord, for those who may have lost families, Lord, just comfort them. All these things we leave in your hand, and now with that, we'll be done. Amen.
Amen.
Hello. Roll call, please.
Johnny Green.
Present.
Joyce Deer.
Present.
Dottie Barnett.
Present.
James Jennings.
Here.
Rufus Scott.
Here.
Madam Chair, you got five present and none absent.
Five present, none absent. Constitutes a quorum. All business conducted will be official. This is the approval of our minutes for March the 7th. And we did get an email from April on the 5 minutes.
I'm trying to make a motion to accept the minutes with any needed changes.
A motion by Ms. Barnett for to accept the minutes with any changes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Scott. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got four in favor and zero against.
Four in favor, zero against. Our minutes have been approved. In order of business, we have the Keeper Fire Department.
He said he was on his way. He might be running late.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe we should put him at the end of the...
End of the...
Yeah.
He has called in and they are running late, so we'll put them at the end of the agenda.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion to move NCA 16055 and 16057 to the top of the agenda, please.
Motion has been made by Mr. Jennings to move NCA 16-055 and NCA 16-057 to the top of the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Barnett. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. We will begin with NCA 16-055. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to Okemah Summer Kids Cafe. Sponsor is Representative Jack. What's with this committee?
Motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Jennings. Discussion?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. I follow Mr. Scott Robinson. Well, thank you for your time and for supporting this program. This is Mr. Jeremy Strickland. He's actually the director of the program at Okemah. I just support the program as a member of their board and also providing diabetes prevention type programming for the kids in the summer. But I'll let Mr. Strickland kind of tell you a little bit about it and then go from there.
Thank you, Council. This is our third year to have Summer Kids Cafe. This is really just a fantastic program for our kids. You should have some information in your packet there. This is a partnership, community-wide, even statewide, with Okemah Public Schools, the Oklahoma Regional Food Bank, and just several other partnerships. And of course, we were very grateful that Muscogee Creek Nation came on board last year as a partner. As you can see, we serve 43% of our program, of our kids, are Muscogee Creek Nation citizens. We would be very grateful for your support again this year.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Any comments? I know this is a very great program. We have one similar to that in Coweta, which helps our kids in the summer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's always good to come home for a couple hours.
All right. Roll call vote, please.
Tony Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. Action passes. Will be sent to BF&J for funding source. Next is NCA 16-057, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to the American Diabetes Association. Sponsor is Representative Jennings.
Madam Chair, I make a motion for a due pass.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Scott. Discussion?
Madam Chair, I'd like to give some time to Ms. Kathy Brown.
Thank you. I'm Kathy Brown with the American Diabetes Association, and I have the pleasure of having with me today Jane Dunbar, who is our state executive director, and this is her first time to get to be among this wonderful group of people. I feel like it's all home week for me, and I just want to tell you how much we've appreciated everything you've done for us. Diabetes continues to be a killer epidemic in Oklahoma. We're fourth in the nation, and we lose about 93 people every month. A large disparity among our Native American friends. We all know that. So that's what we're fighting for. Every dollar we raise, every mile we ride, and Cure to Cure every step and walk out, and step out, is to get us closer to the day when we can find a cure for this disease. So I just want to thank you on behalf of all those who are living with diabetes and tell you how much we appreciate your consideration. And thank you again for letting us be here.
Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Jennings?
Just to comment. There's some council members that want to be added as co-sponsors with you. The Speaker, Mr. Beaver, Mitch Jack, and Adam Jones.
And Thomas.
That's Mr. Yeo.
AJ.
Green.
Johnny Green. And Rufus.
Yeah. Okay. The whole committee.
Whole committee?
Yeah,
I
will.
That's
good. Got it. Mr. Beaver.
Thank you.
Chairman Green, I've been living with diabetes staff for 9 years now, and ever since I've been with Muscogee Creek Nation has been very, very supportive. The American Diabetes Association. I'm very proud to announce too that any activities that they have, that we are truly involved with it. I think last year we had over 20 riders, and I think at TU we had about 30 walkers that participated in the American
71 to be exact.
71, okay. Thank you. But I want to thank the Muscogee Creek Nation in supporting this effort, and also too, would you like to make a presentation? I've heard that you
would.
I'm
so excited.
Mr. Tiger, would you accept?
We're going to make this really quick, but this is your trophy from last year. I'm just
Kathy, right here.
This is a packet with all your well, I'm going to give you this little bag to take with you because it's got everything in it. It also has a picture, and I want to thank former Speaker Yahola. I see him at the other end because last year your honor guard came and presented the colors for us. It was a wonderful thing. Also, your health unit came and did our first aid. We had the classiest, most beautiful of any tour in the United States. Thanks to you guys. So I just want to thank you again for everything. Thank you, Richard. Thank you very much.
Comments or questions?
Break it.
Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for a funding source. Thank you. It's TR16-044, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a foster care agreement between the Muscogee Creek Nation and the Oklahoma Department of Human Services for the purpose of foster care services for Native American children. Sponsors, Ms. Representative Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
Ms. Carmen is here to speak to this. Our tribal state agreement with the Department of Human Services is an ongoing thing. We are only the third, possibly the fourth, it depends on who gets it passed first, of tribal state agreements being signed here in the state of Oklahoma. It's been a difficult ride because of the fact that we've had lots of changes that have gone on with child welfare and with the Indian Child Welfare Act, as well as there have been lots of changes with the Department of Human Services in regards to child welfare issues. We actually are hoping at some point in the future that we will go complete 4E. Right now, our agreement is for them to be the pass-through for federal government, for federal funds for us to pay for foster care services that are provided to our children, our Muscogee Creek children that are in care. That covers those that are in state's custody as well as those children that are in tribal custody. So the agreement here just sets out and lays out the map of what's required and what we agreed to work with the state on in regards to meeting AFGARs or all the funding issues in order for them to pay for foster care.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Ms. Dear.
Is the Merle home in Muscogee, is that considered a tribal foster home?
No, it is not. It's considered more of a children's home. It is a children's home, but they're not in regards to 4E. They do not request or require funding through us. It's a privately funded, but they also go off of their Medicaid as well.
So will this affect them at all?
No.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Comments? No. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dare?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR16-046. A tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a patient transfer agreement between the Muscogee Creek Nation and the Wagner Hospital Authority and Oklahoma Public Trust, DBA Wagner Community Hospital for the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Representative Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
Good afternoon. This is a patient transfer agreement, obviously, between us and the Wagner Community Hospital, so that we can receive patients from that hospital. Thank you.
We receive and they, and also they accept.
Yes,
it's both ways. Yeah. Are there any questions? No. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dear?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR16-047, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a patient transfer agreement between Muscogee Creek Nation and St. John Medical Center, Inc. for the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Representative Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings, and this is the same for St. John's.
It is for stroke patients.
Mm-hmm. Stroke patients. Mm-hmm. Question? Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dear?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. Motion passes. Next is TR 16-048, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation confirming the nomination of Alvin Buttrot to serve as the Secretary of Housing for the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Housing. Sponsor is Representative Jones. The wish of this committee.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion by Representative Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second? Second by Representative Barnett. Discussion. Representative Jennings.
Have Mr. Buttrot come up. Let us know a little bit about it.
Okay. Do we need to go in executive session?
It's up to him. I'll leave it up to him.
Would you want to go into executive session now?
No, that's why I'm leaving.
Buttrot, would you like to give us a little bit about yourself, your background?
Well, most of my background is I've been in construction for the past 38 years. The last 7 years I've been with the Tulsa Housing Authority and their construction department also. They're also HUD regulated, also Section 8. And some of the guidelines they have are the same things that the Housing Authority here has, in some of the different ways, but basically the same regulations from HUD. I worked for the Claremore Indian Hospital for about 15 years. I was a union steward there for 6 years. Handling employee relations, grievances, what have you, with management, conducting contracts between the union and the management system there. There was a lot of that. Was a lot of regulations there also, because of being a government facility, and that was a lot of reading too, just like it is here. So. But like I said, most of my early years has all been construction, working on construction sites, multi-story buildings, working with different engineers on, we didn't work on so much of Indian projects or Native American projects per se, but we all had guidelines for union wages and whatnot to go by and rules, just like if we were the union, you know, we had to go by them, you know. So, anything else?
Anyone have any questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Scott.
Why do you consider yourself the best candidate for this job?
I don't know about the best, but there may be somebody better, but I don't know.
Right now, I think
the way
housing is, we need the best.
Well, I do too, and I think I can do that. Just like I said, we've been following rules with the Housing Authority in Tulsa, and then with the rules that we had to go by in the Claremore area, and that's how I got into that, being so bound by the rules and regulations that you have to go by. So, as being a contractor or part of a construction firm, we made sure, and I made sure that I went by the rules that they set forth that we had to go by, and held them to the same accountability that they had us go by. So, if there was anything out of line as far as our employment or our working conditions, we made sure, or I did, me and a couple other guys, we made sure that they were following the rules that they had to go by and helping us as far as safety and whatever else that had to go on with that project. So being a stickler for rules is what I've been going by all my life. And so in being here the month that I've been here so far, that's what I've been going by with the managers that we have here now, which, and the other employees they have over there, they're all seem to be very good employees. They just need to have the leash taken off, so to speak, so they could do their jobs the way they needed to be done. And I think everything's going the way it ought to be going in order to serve the citizens of the Creek Nation.
What was preventing them from doing their job?
I think, from what I gather, they were constantly looking over their shoulders because they were always being trumped by another authority. Instead of going by what this is what it should be, they were told to slide that rule book to the side and go on and do whatever else they had to be done by an higher authority. That's my opinion. That's what I think was happening. Because I've been there a month, and there's been so many things that's been coming up that's happened over the past 2 years that aren't even close to what the policies and guidelines are set forth in. How they slipped through, I don't know, but I think their managerial expertise were just kind of ignored and bypassed and done things where citizens were just given whatever they asked for whatever reason, but that's the way it was. That's the way it seemed like, because I get calls all the time, well, we used to do this, they used to do that. Well, I don't doubt that they did do that, but that's not the way it's done now since I've been there, in the month that I've been there. But I'm still trying to put out fires from a year ago and 2 years ago, but I'm trying to stay within the guidelines and still help them what they were promised a year ago or 2 years ago. But you know, it's a balancing act to try to do that and stay within the guidelines. So
was there any mention of any bullying in the department?
I guess you could call it bullying. You have one click over here and one click over here, so maybe they didn't like what the supervisor was saying here, or they tell this bunch to do something and this bunch over here didn't like it. Or, you know, they just seem to clash over there. But I think all that's gone now. It seems like, and I made a point to ask them point blank. And they all seem to like they're happier now. Seem like their only employees underneath them are doing their jobs the way they're supposed to be doing them. But
I got a couple questions. In the past, we had a tribal citizen that obtained a house illegally instead of you. Shirlene A, I'll just tell you who it is. Do you intend to pursue that, or is that swept under the rug, it's over with, let it go, or?
I'll look into it. I, going over policy this weekend, stumbled onto some issues that relate to that very fact right there that probably weren't followed. So if I can look into that and we can pursue it if that's the case. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Well, I think it should be. Also, how many years do you have? How many years of experience do you have in administration?
Not much. I have probably 6 years, and that was at the Claremore Indian Hospital between 82 and 93. I did most of that was in the union. That's when we did all our negotiating the contracts, training, safety training, and this, that, and the other, you know. But that was the majority of my administrative part there as a union steward. I really enjoyed that.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there any more questions? Pardon me.
Yes. So one of my questions was along those lines about the administrative part, because we've had people in your position that were very nice people, would love to sit down and barbecue and have a chat with them, but that doesn't necessarily make them good administrators. So can you go into just briefly about how you think that you're apt to deal with the administrative part of your duties? I know it's a lot to ramp up on if you're not familiar with all of the regulations coming into the job.
So what do you want to
do you think that you will be a good administrator as far as learning all of the rules and adhering to them and enforcing them? Because you can't hold your people accountable unless you know all of those regulations, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I think I'll do good at it. And I think so far, probably if you was to ask some of the managers over there, you would probably get that exact thing from them, that I am strictly by the book and I hold them accountable for what they're doing, because I've already expressed that me and the Housing Authority and the Creek Nation are not going to go down the river without a paddle because somebody else did not follow protocol and procedures. And I think if you ask them that, they'll tell you exactly what I mean by talking to them about that, that very thing.
Some other question, because the experience that you've related to us today is mostly in the construction field,
mm-hmm.
and most construction workers I know are kind of rough and gruff and not very tactful. So in your position now, it requires a lot of tact. There are times you have to tell people no, but you have to tell them nicely so they don't think that Creek Nation just, you know, insulted them. So as far as customer service goes and servant leadership goes, because I've already had a complaint about how you spoke to an elder, so how do you see yourself as a diplomat for this nation, and how do you think you should be addressing our citizens and especially our elders?
I'm very respectful. I think most older people, and it's, I don't know who you're talking about, but I tend to speak loud, so some people may take it the wrong way if they're not used to having somebody speak to them loud. And if I offended anybody by that, then I'm sorry, but it's like my dad said, speak loud, that way there'll be no misunderstanding about what I said.
Sure.
And if somebody took it the wrong way, I'm sorry about that, and I don't mean to disrespect. I got all the respect in the world for all the elders, but some of them are hard of hearing.
Sure.
So I got aunts and uncles that are hard of hearing, and I speak loud to them, and they hear me. So if I made that wrong impression to that lady, I'm sorry. But and then at the same token, I tried to quote what's in the book, and if they don't, to make sure that they understand what is going on and what I am trying to deal with them and try to help them in their problem.
Right.
That's the last thing I want to do, is tell somebody, no, we can't do this. I want to help. I feel bad telling people no. But if I don't go by what our policy says, then we're going to be in trouble. And then HUD will be down here running all over the place. So,
sure.
In that respect, that's, and like I said, I can't help if people take it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing that all my life. People tend to take me the wrong way, but I can't help that. That's a personal issue. I can't deal with that.
Well, there's actually training.
Well, I know.
There's actually training. Out there.
I've been to training when in the union thing. I've been to training about customer service and how to act in a committee relations and discussing contracts and stuff.
That's right.
Because we were always talking with management and we were on the employee side of it all the time. So there was always a discussion, and I spoke the same way as I'm speaking today then, you know, and so.
All right, that's all I have. Thank you.
Are there any more questions?
Within the housing program, do you have what's your plan for new housing construction?
We were just talking about that last week and today. We'd like to get it to where we can build more, but we're hampered by manpower right now and contractors. Until we get more contractors and or able to grow our manpower issues, we're kind of going to be limping along until we get that solved. Because right now we're only have built it like two new houses so far, from what I understand.
There's a long waiting list.
I understand that. There's a long waiting list everywhere, and that's another part of it. And in making that waiting list shrink is going to hurt people's feelings, because people are going to be evicted. That's the bottom line. There's people out here that are 2 years behind, 4 years behind, have not paid a dime in rent. And the policy has not been followed. If you, that's it. The policy says you got 30 days. After that, your lease agreement is over. But there's people that's been there for 4 years, owe thousands of dollars. So that being said, that list will shrink. But you're going. The alternative is you're going to have mad citizens on that maybe calling you guys, and I can't help that. But I understand they're being mad. But we all sign agreements all the time to make car payments, to make house payments. We all make them agreements, and we do them. That's what they need to do, and that's what I expect them to do in these lease agreements, to do that. The housing, I would like to see us build more housing, and that's an issue with citizens that don't have their probates done on their properties. If they don't have their probates done, there's nothing that we can do for them. It just slows the works down. And I understand why they don't do them, but if they don't do them, we can't build a house on their property. But I would like to get to the point where we could build them. Just I would like to build 50 a year. But then that's another thing. I got ambitions to hire, put in our budget for a grant writer, just specifically for the housing authority, so we can do that very thing. And buy property and build houses. The problem is citizens don't want to live in cluster at homes in neighborhoods. They want to live in the rural areas, but they don't have the land. So we're playing tug of war here, you know. Now we may be able to buy some land and build a neighborhood, a cluster, but you get somebody that's up in age, they may not want that. They still want to live down in the sticks. So we're trying. We're going to try. And that's what I want to do. But that's some of the plans I have to do that.
What about the mortgage assistance program? You don't offer that anymore?
They still offer that, yes.
Okay. What about alternative housing?
They still offer that also.
Because it used to be just for elders.
There again, that's where the...
Could it be used for like younger families?
It could be, but there again, it's the land issues that prohibit using it often as some people think it should be used. Now, if they own the land where their house is falling down, then maybe we can clear that off and build it there. But there again, it's back to if they own their land and stuff like that before we can do anything with that. Now, if we're willing to, now there's other programs where we find a house down there on 6th Street at Old Logan behind the Kentucky Fried Chicken. Would they want that? Maybe. Maybe not. Probably 80% of them will say no. So they're limiting themselves. They're limiting us to what we can do for them because of where they want to live, which I understand, but, you know.
Mr. Jennings.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Bucktrot, I know you've only been over there a month, but I have a couple of questions for you. And one of them deals with alternative housing. You know, I mean, previously The person owned the home and wanted it rehab, and it's over $25,000. They're not going to spend more than $25,000 to rehab it. So they were offered a rehab, alternative housing.
Mm-hmm.
So when was the last alternative house built?
I can't answer that question, but I can find out. I don't
know
when that was.
A month, it's been a while. I'll say that, but
I don't doubt that at all.
Okay. And another question I have for you, and I realize you've only been there a month, but you have NAHASDA funds, you have proceeds of sales funds. Can you tell us what they're used for?
NAHASDA funds are, I mean, the proceeds of sale is for the director's use as seen fit. For example, if we, right now there's a program over there, it's a $7,500 cap on emergency home repairs. If they end up saying that job, that particular job is going to cost $15,000, then the NAHASDA funds can't be used in that. So that's when I could approve X number of dollars to finish off above that $7,500.
So you're saying that you can commingle the federal funds and the tribal funds?
Well, I don't know if it's really tribal funds. It's funds that the proceeds of sales is what we get from our rentals and stuff. So it's not regulated by HUD.
Right, it's not federal.
Yeah, so we can, we were able to do that. I see what you're saying now, that it'll commingle. Yeah, I can make up the difference what the HUD fund is capped off.
Thank you.
Ms. Jones.
Thank you. I support Mr. Buckshot. One of the things I would like to see is some of the federal programs and stuff that we have with the NAHASDA, like the mortgage assistance program. It seems like that program limits the amount of people you can help. If there's a cap on the high side, if you don't make enough, it seems like it really restricts the amount of people you can help. And somehow, I would like to see if we can change that policy on the federal government to raise that guideline to be able to help more people, because it strictens the amount of people, and that's one of the downfalls of that program. There's money there set aside, but it limits so many people that I just over and over say that, because for the $25,000 grant, if you make a certain amount, then you disqualify from the grant process. And can you look into that? That's one of the
things. That's what we're doing now. We're already in the process of doing the emergency home repair policy right now, and hopefully it'll be on the agenda for the May council meeting. That's what we're shooting for, and it should be. They're just trying to finalize it right now. So we've got so many policies for every different programs and things. So we're just taking one at a time, and then we're working taking all the gray areas out and making it more self-explanatory. And if we can get with HUD or whoever and take some of the restrictions off of it or raise the limits, then that'll be a thing we can do. But right now, we're limited to what we can do right now. So that's what's kind of got things kind of not bogged down, but like you said, you're limited to what you can help certain people with. Either they don't make enough or they make too much. But then somebody making $130,000, they want a free house. So you need to go buy one. That's what I said. I bought mine. So I don't know. But then they want a free house, and then we got a couple that makes $20,000 on Social Security. So it's not fair to them that really need it. That's what I'm saying. So
I support you. Thank you.
Mr. Beaver.
And Mr. Buckshot, you said you use proceeds of sales for emergency type?
Emergency repairs.
What constitutes an emergency?
health and safety, and then you got to make sure they have water, sewer, electricity, heat and air. Those are the four things that we look at when we use that money for those type of things. They got a busted window, that's home maintenance. You got a hole in the sheetrock, that's home maintenance. You got a dirty condenser cord, that's home maintenance. You can get a water hose and wash that. Those things, but those other items, those are what we consider emergencies. If your air conditioner's just flat out smoking and it's burnt up, then we got to get somebody out there to fix that.
So, and I know you only been there 30 days, but have you been able to look at the work process, the workflow from when the citizen walks into that door to actually get help? Have you looked at that and seen how many days it takes and what you can improve on the process?
I have, and we've been trying to do that. I've been trying to do that too whenever I have the opportunity, but I've told the managers that we need to cut that time frame down if we can. There again, the HUD regulations, like if we have to have an environmental study done or something like that, or we have bid processes that come through, it just takes time to get all this paperwork done, and that's what I'm telling these managers to communicate with these citizens as soon as this at the front end of this application and explain to them. Because a lot of the citizens come in there, fill out an application, they think in 30 days they're going to get a house or they're going to get an apartment or something. It's not going to work that way. It doesn't work that way. So we're working with the managers to communicate that to them and get that time frame stretched out so they don't expect something. So, and the same thing with the emergency repairs on privately owned homes, they think we're going to come out right there, man. It's not that simple. We've got to have E&A's done, estimates done, then the bid process, then we wait for the bids come back. So it's just, and if it's got to have environmental, it just takes a lot of time. But we're working to try to shorten that if we can. I was just talking to James at Environmental the other day, why does it take so long to do this one? Why did it take nothing to do this one? You know, well, I don't know what the difference is. So we're trying to work together, you know, to see how we can shorten that time frame.
Where's your vision for housing? Let's just say in 4 years, where do you want housing to be at?
I want them to have a lot of new houses around. So what I'm hoping for, just like Ms. Deer was talking about, I want them to have a lot of houses that people can use. And I would like to have, like I mentioned the grant, I would like to have more money in that particular grant that is not NAHASDA restricted, because we got a lot of houses out there that are still our houses and we still have to maintain them, but a lot of them the amount of work that's going to go in there to fix this house is not worth it. It's better off just to tear it down and then start all over again. But some of these people are on the last leg of owning that house. So that's presenting a problem there also. You know, so. But I would like to see these waiting lists all shrinking and getting everybody into these apartments, houses, whatever they need to get into, because as we ran for election in the past and you hear all these cries of citizens, I've been on there for 15 years and I see why. I looked to see if my application was still in there. It's gone. I did that when I was 21 years old. And it's gone. It's not even on anywhere. Amen. So.
So in the IHP that the tribe turned into HUD, do you know what it says on there as far as the new construction numbers versus acquisition numbers? Because I know last month you just moved money over from new construction to acquisition. So I wonder if those numbers will have to change in IHP. And then you want to build more homes, so next year when we do the budget, how much money you can put that percentage back into new construction or even in acquisition?
That's what I was trying to find out, how many houses we're doing in construction versus that very thing. It seems like we're doing more in the acquisition part than we are in the construction part, but I was kind of looking at the numbers the other day, trying to get them figured out, but the phone's ringing, people's coming in the office wanting to see me, so I don't get to stay on it like I want to. Well, I guess I do like school and take it home and look at it, and take a look at it, you know, but it's, well, like I said, there again, the citizens are creating some of the issues of where they want to live. And I would like to build, say, in Holdenville, build a cluster of homes there. Oh, but if they want to stay there in Holdenville, then if they want to stay in this little community, that's fine. That's what I want to do for them. But my idea is to go to the community meetings. If everything goes well with everybody else here, and talk with the citizens there, and explain to them what we're up against, and what some of the citizens are complaining about, as far as location of where they want these houses. Now, if I tell Holdenville community, would y'all live in a cluster home of, say, 50 homes? You know, the majority of them said they would. Well, then that would be something that we could look into in buying some property and/or turn an existing property and build cluster homes there for those citizens to stay in their home territory where they were probably born and raised, and that's why they want to stay there.
On some of these new homes that have been built within, let's just say, the last 10 years, I've been working with the tribe for since 05, and I started in environmental services and worked very closely with housing. And I've seen some homes being built, and with the last 10 years, even before 10 years is over with, housing has to go back in and spend $24,999 on these homes to rehab them. And so a problem I'm seeing is that, and I don't know if it's the citizen or it's the tribe's responsibility, but somebody has to have a responsibility to either train these people before the housing authority so-called gives them a home to how to take care of these homes. And so so then there's that issue of, well, a broken, dirty condenser, how do I clean that? I got a broken window, how do I fix that? Instead of just putting cardboard over it. So do you have any trainings, do you have anything are you thinking of as far as training the citizen before they get into a home, that they have to go through some certain trainings, maybe credit training, maybe home ownership training, anything like that?
They're supposed to go through a homeowner training class to do that very thing. I haven't had the chance to participate or be a spectator of that to see what all is involved, what kind of training they're doing with them, but I agree with you that these homeowners need to be trained or told about that very thing and other issues, what they need to do to maintain their own home. But that's the problem that's happened over the last 12, 15 years, that the housing authority and or the tribe has done everything for the citizens by giving them this, this, and that, and the other. So far as they're concerned, anytime they want something done, they'll just call the tribe, and the tribe will come get it and fix it. That's the dilemma that's going on now. And now we're trying to put our foot down and go by the guidelines that's set forth in there, and that's going to create a little bit of a havoc because they're not used to having somebody throw their guidelines and rules at them. But that's what's going to have to happen.
Thank you, ma'am.
More questions. I just want to ask if you are confirmed. I spoke with Chief Boyd about elderly housing behind the Coweta Clinic where we have property. That's behind there. And that has been my goal since, I guess, about 4 or 5 years ago. And I had spoken with Mr. Fox. And we kind of went down over some things, but about getting a grant or how we can go about working with with you to, you know, continue working on that city. So, if you were confirmed, would you work with me?
Oh yeah, I look forward to that. Just like I said, you go and Holderville or Wheat Dump or wherever, you know, if that could be worked out, yeah. Because once we do one, then we could probably do them at other places also if we have the property there and or can acquire that property, yeah. Because there's seems like there's more elders nowadays than there ever was now, so, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Hello?
I heard you mention that you work for the Coastal Housing Authority,
mm-hmm.
and you mentioned that you work with work for the Housing Authority here.
Mm-hmm.
Are we a Housing Authority? Are we a Housing Authority?
Housing Division here.
Okay. Okay. Housing Authority is a different entity.
Basically, to me, it's the same. It's just that now that I understand that the tribe is, or the housing, the old housing, Creek Nation Housing Authority is now a part of the tribe. It just, that's where they changed the word, where it became a division of the Creek Nation as a housing.
Is this nation self-governance?
Yes.
Can you tell what self-governance is?
Well, basically, we got a government of our own, and we're the ones that call the shots of what happens with our citizens and our the way we run our programs here.
Okay. Okay, so you're kind of getting the gist of it
now. Yeah, yeah.
Getting the gist of it now.
I may not be spitting it out that way, but that's, I got the gist of it.
Okay. You know, the nation gets, you know, funds from OSTA and so forth, but then they allow us to tailor our programs to meet the needs of our people. Mm-hmm. So we're not a housing authority. Housing authority as a board, you know, we don't have that. But my concern, too, is that, individuals, when you work with individuals, you work from the heart. You know, you work from the heart. You know, you want to do things, you know, for the citizens and for the nation. But we have individuals, too, that strive for these positions. And they get educated, you know, for positions. And I saw in the email a job description for a deputy director. And this isn't a deputy director position. And the requirement is that the individual have a degree. And also, in looking at some of the nominations and confirmations that have been addressed, you know, by this council and by the executive branch, most of those individuals have college degrees, and that's a requirement. And I can't see where, you know, this position would be different. You know, I was looking at your resume, and I saw where you had finished, you know, schooling, I think, in a vocational field,
mm-hmm.
and didn't see any administrative experience, you know, that it takes, because you're going to be a director over managers and etc. And some of those managers have, you know, degrees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so how can you deal with that situation?
Well, first of all, I do have an associate's degree.
Well, I'm in the bachelor's degree.
I don't have a bachelor's degree.
Well, that's true.
But
I believe that's one of the requirements is a bachelor's degree. And I also see, too, that citizens apply for positions within a nation, and they require a bachelor's degree in finance or accounting or whatever, mm-hmm. in order to fill the position. But sometimes it doesn't go that way,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just wondering why the difference. And then your recommendation, and then that requirement.
It's been my experience of all the construction jobs that I've been on, high-rise, big jobs, big projects. They got all these engineers with bachelor's degrees and master's degrees and all these other foremans on it with bachelor's degrees. And I respect that and I understand all that. But when you're out on a construction site, something like the River Spirit Casino, common sense got to come into play.
That's right.
They're too, they're smart as far as the administrative part to a degree. But when common sense comes into play, they don't have the common sense part of it to make the simplest decision that could be made and alleviate everything that's, they're throwing this out. Well, if you just make a little common decision, that'll solve the whole issue. Granted, I don't have a bachelor's degree. I've been around a long time. I've been around a lot of managers that done it the wrong way, the right way. And I've learned a lot in doing that in the last 35 years. So on that basis, that's the only thing I can base it on is my years of work experience around these other managers. I've learned a lot from a lot of them that done it the wrong way. And I've even questioned why they've done it that way. But they got a better education than I do, so that's, they think they're right. And that's, I can't doubt that because they're the boss at that time, you know. So, but I think I got enough common sense and I've learned enough through the years use other people that are under me that have a more of an education than I do. I can use that as an advantage to make the housing division a better place to be and a better place for the citizens to come for assistance there. There is a lot of people over there with higher degrees than I have and more problem, maybe more knowledge than I do. I don't know. But some of them right now, you couldn't, I didn't know some of them had bachelor's degrees. I didn't know some had master's degree because some of the things I've been telling them, asking them to do, it's like it's a whole new, like the light just come on. So why didn't they do this before, you know, instead of waiting until I get there and tell them, why don't you try this, you know, and then they go with it, you know.
Well, okay. Okay, well, I appreciate your comments. But at the same time, too, you know, an individual can have a degree, they can apply for a job with the educational requirements. But it might look good on paper, but you don't know that individual until you actually, you know, talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look in their eyes and see what kind of response, you know, that you get, how they conduct themselves, and how. And that will, you know, help you with your selection, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was just putting it out just to see what your thoughts were.
That's fine.
Okay, right over.
Uh-huh.
More questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Steer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
No.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 1 against.
3 in favor, 1 against. That motion passes. Free agenda.
Yes.
Can you be back for pre-agenda on the
23rd? Oh, wait, 30th.
On the 30th. It's not before our session.
9 o'clock.
At 9 o'clock. Next is TR-16-049, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the Principal Chief to execute a memorandum of understanding between the Muscogee Creek Nation and the Oklahoma Department of Veterans Affairs for the Muscogee Creek Nation Veterans Affairs Service Office. Sponsors, Representative Scott.
Madam Chair, motion for due pass.
Motion, Member Scott, for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion.
Chief, would you like to elaborate on that?
Sure, David.
Oh, I didn't see him back here.
There he is.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Davis.
Bent down back there.
Was he?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to find a Marine.
Good. Good Marine.
Yeah,
Madam Chairman, the memorandum of understanding, we first had one back in 2010, went effective all the way through June of 2012. Great success. In fact, it was something for the entire country to look at, where a state and a tribe could work together hand in hand. It was magnificent. Then along came the new administration in 2014, and that's how bad it went. One of the Oklahoma Department of Veterans Affairs service officers in the VAMC Tulsa Hospital was actually removed for overt racism against African-American veterans, and that his name was Jim Pass, and he's removed by Chief Floyd, who was the director of the VAMC at that time. ODVA back then, it was so bad, it was so acrimonious that I briefed Chief Tiger on it. Chief Tiger said draft a letter. He reviewed it, sent it off to the state of Oklahoma, and we broke the MOU with him. Now, General Deering is on board. General Deering has known solidly since 2005. I rely on him to do the right thing. This is specifically made, the MOU specifically for him, General Deering. As long as he's in place, we'll keep the MOU in place, or until we get direct accreditation from the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, which is moving forward. Chief Floyd just sent off a 4-page letter of response to the VA up in D.C., the Chief of Staff, explaining why tribes should be allowed to become accredited directly with the Department of Veterans Affairs. There's not a tribe, nation, band in the entire country that is accredited directly with the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. We should utilize Oklahoma now. We have better access into the system of the VA because we have power of attorney that coexists with the ODVA.
Good. Questions? No questions? Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Burnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deere.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR 16-050, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation confirming the nomination of Gregory Anderson to serve as the Secretary of Education, Employment, and Training of the Muscogee Creek Nation. The sponsors, Ms. Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
Even if you don't want
to. Anderson, you want to tell us a little about yourself?
I sure.
Know we all have read your resume.
Okay, my name is Greg Anderson. I was with the Muscogee Creek Nation since 1984 at the UFOLA dormitory. I started out as the business manager down there. 5 years later, I became the administrator and was there for 30 years. Left to become the Chief of Staff at the Bureau of Indian Education in Washington, D.C. Was there until about a month ago. In that capacity, I also worked with the Bureau of Indian Affairs on their Inspector General reports in the Muscogee area, and I've worked in that capacity along with the BIE, with Inspector General reports as well. So that's why I was asked to serve and to assist the BIA with their reports as well. I am a graduate of the University of Oklahoma, bachelor's degree in journalism. I have a master's degree in education administration from East Central University, and I have my superintendent certification through the Oklahoma State Department of Education.
Questions, Mr. Anderson? Barnett.
I was looking at James.
Go ahead.
James.
I've known Mr. Anderson for quite a while. When he was at the dorm, and I felt like he'd done a good job at the dorm, and I'm good to see you back.
It's good to be home.
Thank you.
Just a couple of comments.
Sure.
I know for some of your predecessors, it's been hard to integrate our outside programs as
part of the nation. Our literacy program and robotics program have just kind of been stepchildren and treated like outside vendors as opposed to true departments. And if you're confirmed in this capacity, I hope that you would support changing the culture for those two programs, because those two programs actually have massive potential to help our kids get to where they need to be. And right now, I mean, from inception, I haven't really seen a lot of accountability for our own internal departments. I mean, I think it's a shame that we have these literacy programs and our own Head Starts are not unilaterally using them. I mean, they're used, but not in the same way in each classroom. And I think it's a missed opportunity to have consistency for those kids who are obviously higher at risk and need more help than some of their peers that are their same age. So,
sure. One thing that has benefited me over the last couple of years and what the BIE does is we oversee 185 programs, including Haskell, Indian Nations University in Sippy and Albuquerque, and 183 other schools, similar to Eufaula Dormitory being residential, Jamala, Riverside, Sequoia. That has given me an opportunity to go outside and see many, many programs operating with programs that you just mentioned. It benefits everyone. We have to think forward. We have to move ahead. We have to. I'm a firm believer, and I was telling Chief and saying Chief this, you have to be able to do the fundamentals well to do anything. Basketball, you have to dribble before you become a good player. I think that you have to deliver solid services in the basic areas of higher education, Johnson, no matter what we have within the department now. But I also think you have to take a step back and look at the big picture. Which direction is education going? How can we get there? What part do we need to integrate now? Let's not get too far ahead, but I think we need to take those necessary steps to bring those programs into the loop. And I think every opportunity we get to go out and work with those programs, learn a little more about them, and see how can they work with what we have currently is the direction that we need to go.
Well, for education, this is a huge time. I mean, with the ESSA, we have huge opportunity to really get a cornerstone for learning foundation for these kids with the opportunity to be able to control all of Indian education through the tribal front. So I hope that you pursue that.
I think ESSA gives tribes the opportunity, states and tribes, the opportunity to control their own destiny a little more. I think the feds want it because we're not going to be knocking on their doors as much anymore. We're going to be knocking on the doors of our state officials who are also responsible. So I think that gives our state control and more local control in those particular areas. But I'm with you on moving forward in some of these other areas, especially IT areas that are very important we go in more in those areas.
Thank you, Manager.
Yep. Any more questions?
I would add also that when you're talking about bringing all these in, you know, I have a background in working with regulatory negotiations with the federal government. I co-chaired two of those to where we went out and worked with various tribal entities across the United States to write the new regulatory negotiations. So I think that we can work with these outside entities, your public schools, your different programs, and I think that's what we can do well. We can do better working together, not only with state and local resources, but public schools.
And both of those existing programs that we have now do that, because they actually invest in the classroom teachers, because that's where you get the most benefit from. So, thank you.
I would just like to say that I feel like the chief has made a great nomination. I've known Greg, like James has said, for many, many years, and I feel his qualifications are outstanding.
Thank you. Just a conversation the chief and I had when I saw him and said I'd like to come home, and he said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, Chief, I would like to do whatever is necessary to bring the most value to your administration, to the nation, and to the programs that serve the citizens. And we just left it there. And of course, he asked me to come back and work with the dormitory for a while, and then this came up. This was not my intention, but if this is what he asked me to do, and obviously it's a privilege and an honor, and if this council sees fit, I would gladly serve.
Thank you.
Yes.
Questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. And what was the date again?
Pre-agenda.
Pre-agenda.
The 30th.
On
the 30th.
The 30th at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Thank you. Next is TR-16-051, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the Principal Chief to execute a memorandum of understanding between the Muscogee Creek Nation, Alabama Fasardi Tribal Town, Kalaji Tribal Town, and Thopthocco Tribal Town for the method of allocation for the nation's proportional shares of funding for housing and urban development funds and the Indian Housing Block Grant. Sponsor is Ms. Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Jennings. Any discussion?
Are you going to speak to this, Alvin? Alvin, who's there for you? Are you going to answer our questions on this if we have any?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
I got back up if I can't answer this.
Any questions?
So I just really have always had one, and I never got an adequate explanation. So I do not understand how the tribal towns being able to claim double their population still amounts to us getting more money, according to this block grant. I know they tried to explain it to me before, and I still don't quite understand that. So how does that not hurt our numbers, and how does that help us get more money than what we would get otherwise, other than doing this agreement?
Just by them going, from what I've been told and what I can find out on my own, it's just going by the labor force report that they used in 05, I think it was 05, that by being a low number is the only reason why. I mean, by them going by the actual enrollment is a whole lot better. I mean, I'm all for that if it's going to get them and the tribe more money as far as that goes. Because if they go the other way, from what I understand, we lost several millions of dollars back then when they done that.
Correct. That was my understanding too.
I'm like you, the understanding just didn't register.
I don't understand how you can claim double your numbers and we still get.
And I haven't seen that report yet on in 85 and how many citizens were they talking about at that time. I hadn't seen that report yet. But my thoughts were just like yours.
Because I think it cost us like $3 or $4 million.
Something like that. Yeah. Okay.
All right. I was just curious. Yeah. That was the only question.
Are there any more questions? And if not, roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR-16-052, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the Principal Chief to execute a memorandum of understanding between the nation's Department of Health and Okefuskee County for the establishment of an alternate care site in the event of a mass medical emergency or disaster. Sponsor is Representative Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
This is just the MOU in the event there's a natural disaster or a mass casualty, and we'll utilize the Okotski County bond as an additional person.
Any questions, comments? No? Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. And that's TR-16-057, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a school rental request with Okmulgee Public School. Sponsors, Ms. Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion due pass by Ms. Barnett. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
This is just the rental agreement for the Junior Olympics during the festival at the high school football field.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions?
Is that, are we paying them or is it free of charge?
No, it's they don't charge anything. Right? We don't pay anything. I was going to say, I didn't think we did. Oh yeah, it says no. Because we're not making anything off of it, so they don't charge anything.
Yeah. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR-16-061, a tribal resolution of Muscogee Creek Nation to authorize and establish a review committee for the process of reviewing and recommending improvements to the Muscogee Creek Nation electoral process and MCNCA Title 19 Election Code. Sponsor is Representative Jennings.
Madam Chair, I make a motion for a due pass.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Discussion?
Chief, you want to speak on this? Or
Chief,
can
answer your question.
So this bill was forwarded to National Council after input by several council members in looking at the electoral process. I don't remember when it was last looked at. We do know some of the codes are been in existence for a number of years. There does need to be some updating, I think, because we've seen being a digital society now, less in the paper. So as an example, that's one thing. And so bill was drafted in order that we could take a look at that and other issues and have the group that will be established or the committee make recommendations coming back to the National Council and to myself as to what their findings are and where they should go from there.
Madam Chair.
I'm sorry. Yes.
I'd just like to make the comment that, you know, in the legislation does state that TR-15-156 was adopted by the National Council for the Carter Group 2 observed the 2015 election.
Yeah.
And I support it, and I still do. So, thank you.
Yes.
I would like to give Ms. Hardo's plan. Or plan, is that you?
He's back up.
Thank you. I'm Clint Cowan, the attorney for the Election Board, and Nettie Harjo, the director of the Election Board. The Election Board just learned of this TR before its last monthly meeting and intended to actually send a request to the chief, asking the chief if they could discuss the proposed TR with him as soon as possible. And It's actually my fault. Due to a miscommunication, the letter did not get sent yet. So we're here today. None of the election board members could be here this afternoon, but they are meeting tonight. And the election, go ahead.
Yeah, I talked with the chief, and I asked him if he could meet with the election board because they had some concerns about this. And he said that he would meet with us tonight during our regular meeting. And our request is to, if you would table this so that they could meet and, you know, voice their concerns to the chief.
Table it until when?
Whenever. I don't know.
That's, what are your concerns?
Well, one of the concerns is that right now, as during every meeting since the election is over, that they go through the election codes to see what needs to be changed and what needs to be updated. They made a couple of changes, and one of the changes was sent through the chief, but it hadn't been sent through this committee yet. One of the other concerns is that are we not a independent agency? You know, it seems like every time somebody is trying to rush something through here, change something with the election board, and not ask the election board, you know, of their input or their opinion. So that is some of their concerns. But they just want to know, you know, they just have questions about this.
I think one of the other concerns is that the election board feels like this proposal that to establish a committee falls within the authority of the existing election board, perhaps, and so it may be more appropriate for the election board to be more involved than it is in the current proposal. They essentially don't understand why a new committee is required to do this when they've been doing this in the past.
That's a comment I've received also. So, and you have spoken with chief.
Yeah, he agreed to meet at the election board meeting tonight.
It's at 6:30 tonight.
And you would want to meet, I'll bring this up again before the next meeting?
Uh-huh. Oh.
I'll make a motion to postpone this too. Next month.
Motion has been made by Mr. Jennings to postpone until next month. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Barnett. Have a roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. TR 16061 is postponed until our May meeting.
Thank you.
Next is NCA 16-046. The law of the Muscogee Creek Nation repealing MCNCA Title 18, Section 2-104, entitled Vocational Training Tribal Grants, and Section 2-105, entitled Vocational Training Incentive Grants, and replacing it with a new MCNCA Title 18, Section 2-104, entitled Vocational Training Tribal Grants, and Section 2-105, entitled Vocational Training Incentive Grants. Sponsors, Ms. Barnett.
Motion to do pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for a do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
Oh, there you are. I didn't see you. I was recess. I saw Courtney earlier, but I don't see you.
This legislation here, we're just actually just updating everything, trying to make it more consistent with higher education. We also have we've never had a, when we do the process for the grant applications, we normally just send everything through once, if they're we don't have the probationary period that the higher education does. We've also put that in there, as well as we've upped the amount, which we're not asking for any funding because we currently have the funding available in the amount that's appropriated to us in the CAB. So, and right now we're still, just from the CEVA reports, we're still around 42% we've only used until September. Okay. And it hasn't been updated since 2008.
Any questions? James?
Yep. It does state in here that they're only allowed two awards per year, even though some of them are on trimesters and twice a year. Mm-hmm.
Any questions? Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCA 16-047, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation amending MCNCA Title 18, Section 2-501, entitled Establishment of the Postgraduate Education and Scholarship Revolving Fund. Sponsors, Representative Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
On this one here, we just made some amendments to it. We've also added the fundamentals in the engineering for the testing, and also added the post-testings as well. It was when we were doing the applications, it was also showing a little holdup for the applicants because it had to go through the secretarial process, going through the secretary's office and asking for an approval. But since we're putting striking that out and putting the post-test in there for the certification and entrance testing, mm-hmm. then I think this will keep from them having a holdup on everything. And we'll be able to flow those applications through more quickly.
Are there any questions? Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCA 16-048, law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a supplemental appropriation to the Postgraduate Education and Scholarship Revolving Fund. Sponsors, Ms. Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Any discussion?
And this one is just to add the special appropriation to that, if we're currently out of funding for that right now. So all the applications that we have are on the way.
Do you know what the need is for the amount of applications that you have?
Currently we've had, let's see, Peter's actually out. Jerry, do you know the numbers that we're going to have? I don't want to call them because it's them. Okay. We haven't asked for this for, I think it's been about 3 years now. And the current legislation says that we're supposed to need to ask for around 10,000, and we're at that 10,000 mark, but with all the little changes that have been made with this administration, it was overlooked. Mm-hmm. So now we're depleted those funds.
So was the last time we gave funding last fall?
No, we actually just gave funding. I think January was the last time.
Okay. Mr. Jennings?
I have a question for Ms. Booker. So how much is in there? And I guess my real question is, you know, I understand the postgraduate scholarship program, but the revolving account.
This was originally set up a few years ago, and then we're supposed to take donations, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And to take the money and get the scholarships out. This actually, the whole department was supposed to go out and get donations wherever they can get them for scholarship. I mean, apparently there's not been any movement if we're having to replenish. I mean, do you keep it? Do you not? I don't have the numbers in front of me that I can get into. As far as when it was established and how it went for the last few years.
Ms. Omni,
you do have scholarships.
I can't say exactly when it first started, but it started under the judicial branch.
Yeah, I remember.
Christopher Asbell, Jason Moore, presiding at that time. So it started during that time, and it was established with a revolving account. Now, I don't know all the guidelines that they had set up for it from the beginning, and I just know at one time that the council didn't approve appropriations into this account some years ago, and then within the last 4 years, then it was taken over by Department of Education and Training in that time. And right now, I think they started out this March with, like, they were approved a budget model of $16,793.57.
This is also the department that took over the fall of dorm money as well.
The scholarship.
Yes. Down there.
So, well, that's my whole question. You know, it was set up as a revolving account because they need a revolving account for monies that they brought in, you know, not for us to appropriate to a revolving account.
You guys have already established a scholarship program, and you funded it through the account.
Right. So, the scholarship program, like when they had their golf tournament, that's where they said that they were going to take that money that they made at the golf tournament to put in this revolving account. So,
the postgraduate education and scholarship revolving fund is different from the education foundation. It used to be the higher education. We changed it to just education scholarship foundation so that we could also use it for other, like, not specifically just higher education. But this account is actually different from that, and the fundraising they do is not associated with this. Nothing was actually implemented to support the sustenance of this other than the initial appropriation. And I think the thought was that the current secretary at the time was going to go out there and knock on doors and get money put in, but that didn't happen for whatever reason. You know, I don't know what that was, but I know that they're separate. Those funds that are raised for the golf tournament and all of those activities, the 5K is coming up, that doesn't go into this.
Those go into the scholarship foundation, the endowment, and then the other one is from the higher education department.
Well, I still have a problem with funding a revolving account, you know, no matter.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Weaver?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, does the dorm have anything to do with this or no? Does not, from what I understand?
The funding that we had from the dorm was actually, legislation was rewritten to have their funding from the cell towers go to scholarship. But that goes, that funding there goes directly into the endowment.
Yeah, okay. That's what I wanted. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Why is it interesting? Why are they separate? What's the difference between just scholarship and postgraduate scholarship? Why are they separate?
There's really not a difference. That's just how I say
it. Just created a department.
There's just administration created.
So you got two different people over those two.
Right.
And so basically you have one person over both of them.
Right. And plus the dorm money, when Greg was at the dorm, he overseen that because that money is strictly for them to call it with. And instead, they get the legislation under these departments when the only one who gets it is in college, supposed to.
What is the Hall of Fame gala money?
I believe it's
the endowment.
How much money would it be?
This past gala, it was around $21,000.
Just $21,000?
Any more questions? Comments? Yes.
I don't have a question. I just have a statement to make because right now, this scholarship program has been advertised and it is out there, and citizens have applied for it, and they're waiting. So we can sit here and debate whether or not we should put money in this. But the bottom line is that we have citizens that are waiting on this money and quite possibly counting on this money to even further their education to support their families. So we just need to keep that in mind.
Yes. I just have a quick aside. If I had had the opportunity to have my bar review courses or my bar certifications or any of my professional requirements to be supplemented in any way, I could have saved myself about $5,000 to $10,000 in student loans. So the fact that this opportunity is available for people who are pursuing postgraduate work, I think would be very helpful to them. I know, you know, what my student loan debt and burden is, and thankful
that
there are people, but
just
speaking from an attorney's perspective
as
a professional,
that's
I would be grateful for that.
Thank you.
Jim? I agree with you, and that's why Mr. Fife sponsored that legislation when it was started back then. But I still don't understand why it has to be a revolving account, you know. Fleet Management, they have a revolving account, but that's for money that they make. We don't go down and supplement that. Something needs to be changed for the postgraduate education scholarship, not the revolving account or fund.
Postgraduate, you got your higher ed, then you got your post, and then you got your doctorate, correct? And it's all funded in the budget. And I agree, I don't think this ought to be another problem. If you're going to supplement anything, supplement the budget that's they're running on now. I mean, because if you think about it, postgraduate, the kids in higher ed are coming out of high school. They're the ones that need more than help. Postgraduate, most of them have their bachelor's or for their master's. They probably have jobs. And then you got your doctor. But right now, the school cost for a child to go to college is enormous. You know, $1,000, $1,500 these kids get is not very much. They get this grant, want to quit. You know, maybe they can come to a happy meeting. Maybe if Greg gets in, maybe he can revamp the whole thing. You know, but our focus has got to be on the kids that's coming from high school to college because that's what we're losing.
Thank you.
I'm not opposed to appropriating the money for that. It's just the way it is in the revolving account. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Did you have something else? Oh, no, no more questions, comments. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deere.
Yes.
James Jennings.
No.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 1 against.
3 in favor, 1 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for a funding source. Next is NCA 16-049, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a supplemental appropriation for the Muscogee Creek Nation Social Services Department fiscal year 2016 budget for medical travel assistance. Our sponsor is Representative Jennings.
Madam Chair, I make a motion for a due pass.
Motion by Representative Jennings for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Barnett. Discussion?
Mr. Titus? Mark?
We're asking for this appropriation to basically fund the city airport medical travel expenses. We don't know when something's going to happen to my need medical travel. And so right now we are operating at, we're 55% of our current budget, from $22,000 in there. Since when the last passage of the cancer travel went from $5,000 to $10,000, so there's a significant increase from the council at that time. And so we're asking for an increase now, since $10,000. This $50,000 only assists 5 people at that time. So added on, you know, from $2,000 to $4,000 more, plus with other people's medical travel, which may be not as, you know, in your whatever for cancer, but something, other major surgery. So we're just asking for this as an appropriation on that.
Thank you.
Any questions? Questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deere.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Be sent to BF&J for a funding source. Next is NCA 16-050, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation for a Muscogee Creek citizen to attend and participate in the U.S. Transplant Games. Sponsor is Representative Jennings.
Madam Chair, I make a motion for a due pass.
Motion by Representative Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Barnett. Discussion?
Hi. I'm on the board. Kid members that met Survivor. And I'd like to say thank you. Years past, I've come before you before and asked for assistance. And each time, you have all been very generous in helping me. Each time it has, I've achieved my goal by going down to do what I wanted to do and spread the word about organ donation and transplantation, how it does work. I'm a living survivor, so I'm actually 12 years out. So just continuing on with my life. So, but I appreciate it, and
hopefully
we'll go through. Thank you.
Thank you for being here with us. Are there any questions? None. A roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deere.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for funding source. Thank you. Next is NCA 16-052, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation amending MCNCA Title 6, Chapter 1, Section 1-811A, entitled Placement Preferences. Sponsors, Ms. Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion.
Ms. Carlin, do you want to talk about
this? Because we have worked in conjunction with the Attorney General's office and it has to do with the code, I'm going to have Ms. Hotbed answer any questions. When we took a look at the foster care agreement when we were working with the state, we kind of went through some of the laws that were pertaining to the foster care and adoption placement preferences with the nation. Through that foster care agreement, we have jurisdiction here at the nation over children who are not just Muscogee Creek citizens or eligible for Muscogee Creek citizenship. We also have jurisdiction over children that are members of or eligible for membership in other tribes. So what this does is amend the language that we use to address the jurisdiction so that we can cover all of the placement preferences for all children. And then we also went through and restructured some of the placement preferences to update how operations actually occur within the department, about how placement preferences are selected and how individuals are ranked according to order of preference and relationship with the child themselves. So what this does is update those and also kind of expands the definitions and the placement criteria that's used. Previously, there were only, we had 1 through 8, but we didn't actually have a number 5 in there. So this kind of modifies that to actually have 10 now.
Thank you. Are there any questions? There are no questions. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Steer.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCA 16-056. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing an appropriation to the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Employment and Training for startup costs of the Native Youth Community Project Grant. Sponsors, Representative Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion.
This grant here was actually a grant that we received back in October of 2015, but there was never follow through on that. The MOUs were never in place with the Bristol Public Schools, so now we have agreed to do that. We contacted the Attorney General. They've reviewed the MOUs and the MOAs in place for that. What it is a grant that the TEDNA organization is a recipient of, and we're basically the sub-recipient of it. What they'll do is they're going to provide us with funding reimbursements for us to have an education specialist down in the Bristol Public Schools. And with this grant, we're actually going to be able to work one-on-one with the students and provide direct services to them to provide professional development training to the staff down there and also summer programs. And like I said, this year we have already been implemented by October of last year. We're just now getting this going. But we have to have startup costs to do that. And we talked with TEDNA last week, and what they do is they're going to reimburse us each month for that. So they've already received the grant. It's a four-year grant. And then what we do is we just give them, invoice them, and they send us the reimbursement. We just need startup costs to get this individual into the schools.
Any questions? Ms. Barnett.
So you've already hired an individual to fill this position?
No. We have to get, I mean, if this does pass, we will be, we have the job description and everything ready. We're just waiting to see if we get this passed so we can hire for that position.
Any questions? If not, roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dare?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. It is sent to BF&J for a funding source.
Keeper's here. Keeper, our department.
Oh, okay. Of the Keeper Fire Department.
Yes.
Would you like to come up here?
Are you there?
Fine, thank you.
Do you have a slide? Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Oh. That's part of their package.
Oh,
that's
okay.
There's their actual. Let's go sit that.
I think last night when you were supposed to be here, you were fighting fires that day.
Yes, it was. Hasn't been much
better. I was very sad.
It's been worse this month than I thought.
Yeah. I'm real glad you could make it today.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Go over your need.
Yeah, so we, the state of Oklahoma provides equipment and vehicles for different fire departments. We're a volunteer fire department, so we're all volunteer. But one thing they gave us was a big truck for a tanker. We put a tank on this truck. It works wonderfully. We have to have it for all these wildland fires we have. The tank being on the truck sets the truck to work, kind of sets up funny and can't drive down the road very well. It's kind of loose. So we have a company that come in and can move the axles back to make it more safe for our guys. And that's kind of where we're at on this funding thing. We've tried to get it funded in the past to the city, and of course we're like everyone else, funds are hard to come by at times. So this project's gonna cost about $5,200 to get this truck operable to where we can, you know, take it places we don't take it. So
did everyone hear the deed?
I make a motion to approve Keeper Fire Department's application. I couldn't hear you. I was like, is she waiting on us or what?
Okay, motion by Ms. Barnett to approve Keeper Fire Department's request. Is there a second?
Second
by Ms. Deer. Roll call vote, please.
Excuse me. Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dare?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against.
It's great
Thank
to see
you.
What you guys do for your citizens. I love this meeting. So
thank you for your service.
No problem. Thank you very much.
I'm going to call you later.
Other business, we have NCA 16-060. Added to other business, would anyone have a motion?
Madam Chair, make a motion to add NCA 16-060 to today's agenda, please.
Motion, Ms. Barnett, to add NCA 16-060 to the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. NCA 16060. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation amending NCA 15-238. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation amending MCNCA Title 35, Chapter 9, entitled Special Appropriations Guidelines, and creating a new Chapter 13, entitled Muscogee Youth Opportunity Grant. Our sponsor is Ms. Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you to the committee for hearing this bill at such a late time. I know that we had to add to today's agenda, but it just came to my attention on Thursday of last week that we were actually currently out of money. So this language changed the grant that used to come through the council for individual appropriations, $250 for students for their activities, and put it under youth services. When we moved that, we moved $60,000 into their budget to fulfill this need, and that money is used. They're out of money now. They currently have around $25,000 worth of applications waiting from children who need money, mostly children. Some of them are just young adults, but are youth that need money to do these activities. So since this legislation was already there, basically it's just an amendment to the amount to set aside more money for those activities, for the activity fund. So this bill would amend the amount from $60,000 to $130,000 in order to fulfill the need for the rest of the fiscal year. Now, I did get a chance to visit with the youth council over the weekend about their wanting to change the guidelines for the grant, and they probably will do that at their next meeting. They haven't done it yet, to make this money stretch and last longer for the rest of the fiscal year. So a couple of the things they're looking at is, right now we don't have it set aside tiered for different ages. Whether a child is 6 or 18, they're still eligible for the same $250. So they're looking at tiering that to where the little guys are eligible for a lower amount, and then having that step up to $250 for the high school kids and postgraduate kids. They're also looking at maybe helping youth every other year instead of every year, so that they get a new pool of kids to make sure that they're helping more kids as opposed to the same kids every year. They were considering lowering the travel amount. Currently, this grant is open to help youth who have those travel opportunities for those educational travel, whether it's abroad or domestic. Currently, those limits are $1,000 for domestic travel, $2,000 for international travel. So they're going to look and see if that needs to be changed as well. That's not where the bulk of the money has been going, though. If you look, there's a handout with a nice, pretty color graph. And this shows the breakdown of the majority of the money goes for sports. That's what the majority of the money goes for. So the majority of the money have been those $200, $250 grants. They also have been very prudent in making sure that the child's need is met, but we don't give them more money than what they need. So if the child's parents submit a budget and the budget says that child needs $200, they don't get the full $250. They only get the amount that they can prove budgetarily that they need.
Okay. Are there any questions? No questions. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Sear?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. That's our funding source.
It's already identified in the legislation.
Huh?
It's identified in the legislation.
Uh-huh. Interesting permanent fund.
That's what it said.
Yeah.
Is it going to be
It's already in the budget, right? For 60.
60.
It's already from the redemption. So you're going to make it effective. You're going to supplement it this time, but in the next budget, it's going to 130.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to do interest. You just have to do two funding sources to finish it out. This time, and then when the budget process is the whole 130.
I did any other business announcements. Mr. Jimmy?
Yes, the College of Scholar Nation graduation is April the 22nd.
Thank you. That's up to Daryl.
I'm sorry?
Joint meeting.
I'm going to try to have a joint meeting right after this. I didn't hear from Mark Randall.
Because
there were some issues that bugged up.
I guess not. Mm-hmm. Any more announcements, Chief? Do you have any? Motion for adjournment. Motion by Mr. Barnett for adjournment, second by Mr. Jennings. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. I want to ask the Weaver, the benediction, please.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for